Good day, health time. You've tuned in to hear Dr. Ken Kronhaus from Lake Cardiology down in Madura, Florida, go through a lot of information. Dr. Ken Kronhaus is here. I'm Doug Steffen, answering a lot of questions. And also, well, the questions come up as a result of some of the research that Ken does on the journals, the medical journals. And as a cardiologist, there's a focus there, but he's the all-around guy when it comes to medicine, understands whenever I have a problem, I call him and say, okay, what do you think I should do about this, that, or the other thing? So that's his expertise is universal. And so as we look at some of these, some of the articles that are in the journals this week, here's one on stress and how stress is bad for you. This is something that you hear all the time. Stress is a killer. But in this study, interesting comparison, Ken.
This is interesting. This is out of Nature Scientific Reports this week, that too much stress in your life, Doug, can mimic a poor diet, producing nearly identical poor health outcomes. When exposed to high amounts of stress, the gut microbiota, you've been interested in that, as have I. This is a new frontier in medicine. All these millions of bacteria that live in our gut, they're just not living there. They're actually active and affecting our health. And these are microorganisms that are essential for good digestive and metabolic health. They actually transform when they're exposed to junk food to make it appear as though they had diets high in fat. They transform also when you're under mental stress.
Really?
So we usually think of stress as purely psychological phenomena, but stress causes distinct physical changes in the body, and thus stress is a major contributing factor to obesity.
Stress, though, brought about by what? I hear that word. I think it's overused because some people don't really know what it is. There's physical stress. There's emotional stress.
Well, we're talking here in this study by mental stress.
Mental stress. Brought about by fights with your spouse.
All of the
bad
above.
Times at work, running out of money.
Those are the common ones. Work, relationships, and finances are the most.
So how do we overcome these things? Go out and eat some vegetables? Or what do you do to back yourself out of stress? Exercise sometimes is good, I guess.
Exercise is excellent.
Drinking, some people think, is good.
That's not a good way to deal with stress. No, right. But exercise is an excellent way of dealing with stress. And also just problem solving and communicating and having the right people around you. That is so key.
I find, and it's unusual, not many people can say they can get it onto their tractor, go out into nature, and feel relief.
Nature is great.
Relief.
Oh,
nature
my gosh. Go row a boat on the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Row, row, row your boat, and you will be gentle by the stream, and you will be merry, as the song suggests. All right. So stress, keep it on your mind.
Connect with nature. What a great way to reduce stress.
Yep. All right, let's talk about vaccines, because a lot of questions are beginning to come in, as usual, at this time of year for you. When it comes to vaccines, here's a study that I'm not sure I understand the essence of this vaccine study. You'll explain it well, I'm sure.
Time for the annual Dr. Ken and Doug arm wrestle.
Right. Disagreement.
Flu-related illnesses. Mm-hmm. They were responsible for nearly 12,000 deaths, Doug, in Florida alone last year. And, you know, I know this. Being a resident of Florida, researching it, just our one state alone, and we're not special. The flu vaccine, actually, Doug, it's recommended for everyone, 6 months and older, including pregnant women. And it takes about 2 weeks after the vaccination for your body to develop protection against the flu. So the person who gets the vaccine and then gets the flu, and they immediately blame the vaccine. It's not the vaccine. It's that the vaccine takes 2 weeks to work, and you were just exposed to the flu, and you got it before the vaccine took effect. The nasal spray, which some people like so you don't get poked in the arm, this year it's not recommended for this flu season because of concerns about the bug that we think is coming won't be actually effective with the nasal spray. So this year, don't even ask for the nasal spray. And remember, very important, hygiene for protecting oneself and from spreading it. You want hand washing, don't go crazy, but keep those hands clean. And also cough into your sleeve, not out in the open, so you spread everything to everyone.
So this will add to your thinking that I'm a strange bird. And
I don't think that.
Thinking a lot of people think I'm
that's
a little
strange. That's
just
my humble opinion.
Well, here, no, I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had yesterday with a fellow on the farm who delivers diesel fuel for me and, you know, the heating oil for the buildings and that kind of stuff. He's a very good guy. Yeah, very important guy. And he sounded terrible on the phone. I said, "What in the Bill? What's wrong with you? I've got a bad cold and I think I may have the flu." And he says, "I got to go get." He says, "I don't understand it. I eat well, and I use that Purell to get rid of all of the things, the bugs, the bad stuff on my hands." And I said, "Well, that may be your problem." So here I put on my Dr. Doug practicing without a license hat, and went into my spiel about increasing the value of your immune system and how that, in fact, is if you have a weak immune system, you're gonna be likely to get the sorts of things, the flus and the colds that we're talking about. And so he's very interested in how I knew all of this, because he knows me as Farmer Doug. He doesn't know me as Broadcaster Doug. And I said, "Well, one of the reasons that I think I'm as healthy as I am is because I've grown up on the farm. I've been around dirt, germs, bacteria, you name it. I've become immune to most of that stuff because of my exposure to it on the farm, and I still am exposed to it, and I don't go out of my way. For example, yesterday I'd been out working on the tractor, and we had to fix one of the balers, and I had dirt on my hands, and I came home, and I was hungry, and I fast reached into I have a big urn in the kitchen filled with nuts, all kinds of different nuts, pistachios, and cashews, and peanuts, and almonds. So I had a handful, and my hands were dirty, but all right, my mouth felt great. And I don't I think I'm not being facetious either. The more dirt you're exposed to as you're growing up, the stronger your immune system is going to be anyway. But still and all, when Ken talks about the vaccines, most of the people that are hit hardest by the flu every year are the young, very young people and very old people who don't have strong immune systems, right?
That's an important group.
Yeah. So what do you think about my advice to the guy yesterday who I said you ought not to be cleaning your hands all the time like that because it's, you know, there's value to having some of that in your system. What do you think of that advice?
Well, just don't put your hands in your mouth then.
Don't suck on your hands, in other words. All right. Anyway, we're going to continue. I have something, as long as we're talking about your immune system.
Or touch your hands to your face. That's also important.
What? Do not do it?
Don't.
Well, but if I'm going to eat a handful of nuts and my hands are dirty, that's what's on my hands is going to get on the nuts and it's going to get into my body.
Well,
right?
I think in general it's a good idea before you eat to wash.
You're so funny because you get so uncomfortable. You don't want to argue with me.
No, I mean, my humble opinion is that is a good time to wash. If you're going to eat,
yes,
time to wash.
Normally, I always eat before I always eat before I wash. Good, Doug. I always wash before I eat. But, you know, every once in a while, if I'm out in the field and somebody brings me over an apple or something, I'm going to eat it. I don't wash the apple and I don't wash my hands. So there.
Interesting.
Yes, it is. Isn't it fascinating?
Is there pesticide on your apples?
You know, I would think I go to a place called Breezewood Orchard, which is about 40 miles from here. Uh-huh. Every year I load up on apples about this time of year, hoping it'll last me until Christmas when I'm going to move on to some other place. And I think that this particular, they do something, but there's a new kind of vegetarian-based or not. What is it? It's a plant-based spray that they put on stuff to keep the bugs from, you know, there are new all-natural sprays that you can use.
Well, ask them if you're supposed to wash that off before you eat it.
Yeah, okay. I will. I haven't washed it off.
Because I would hate to have you end up like the bugs.
Deader than dead? Yes, I would hate that as well. All right, let's talk about consuming more fruits and vegetables. This is the key to your immune system. You want to improve your overall health? Start consuming the right type of foods, and eating more fruits and vegetables is key in getting the natural vitamins that you need. Ken and I talk about this. He disagrees with Jack Stockwell, who's the other half of the Good Day Health arena here. Jack doesn't think that I should eat any kind of fruit because there's too much sugar in it. You say that the sugars in the fruits are okay. You disagree with that completely.
I most humbly disagree. I mean, I'm not a fan at all of white sugar, but natural sugar that nature put in it, you shouldn't be afraid at all. And that is just so good, and it has so much goodness in it, the natural antioxidants. You talk about natural immunes. You know, here in Florida, anyone that has any signs or symptoms of viruses, not the bacteria, but the viruses,
yep.
You come down with a cold here, I immediately urge them to get a high pulp orange juice, yep. And you'd be amazed how effective that is at fighting a cold.
Yep, I agree with you. So anyway, I'm not going to take Jack's advice in that department, but I am cutting back on the amount of fruit. And the way I'm doing it is to use Balance of Nature fruits and veggies, which come as a supplement. There are three capsules a day that are recommended to be taken for the average adult. And you get on this program, and within a few weeks, your immune system is enhanced by up to 700%. It's really an amazing product. And it's just encapsulated fruits and vegetables. No sugar, none of this stuff. It's all been powdered. You can open them up, put on your foods if you want, or you just take the capsule, whichever. So if you want to avail yourself of this opportunity, if you want to get in, if you will, on the program, the bandwagon, you'll go to balanceofnature.com and use the promo code DJV, because that's going to get you the fruits and vegetables free for a month. Now you get started. Use the code DJV at balanceofnature.com. Why wouldn't you want to do anything and everything, even if you didn't know much about it? If it's free, let's try it, especially if we suggest that this is pretty good, because it is. This is all non-GMO fruits and veggies that are encapsulated here by cooking them and then drying them and powdering them. Balanceofnature.com. Code is DJV. Cost you 22 cents a day. Well worth it. Your health is our priority here. All the activity on Good Day Health, courtesy of the folks at Superbeats, amongst other things. The folks have had great faith in Dr. Ken and his message, because his message is good. It's all about hope and health. He's a preventative cardiologist at Lake Cardiology. The center is located in Central Florida, in fact. And if you're traveling on your way to Disney, or you're going to go to the Space Coast, or you're going to visit somebody on the other side of the island, if you will, because Florida, even though it's a peninsula, for me, it's kind of like an island. It's unto itself. It's a special place, a very interesting state, Florida. So anyway, if you're in the Sarasota area, it's easy to get to Dr. Ken, all those areas. Lots of fun to be had, lots of good weather, and lots of good health. So if you want to check in with Ken at Lake Cardiology, do so by dialing his office number, which is 352-735-1400. Make note of that. As a matter of fact, while you're listening to this, call up the office. See if you can make an appointment. I'm going to be in Florida next month. Actually, I'm going to be in Florida in December to see you.
Wow. Ken.
I have a big party of listeners in Florida. So get there. Bring yourself or your family, whoever needs to have more concrete information about what's going on in his or her body. You can get it the right way with Ken at 352-735-1400. That's the number to call to make the appointment to go see him. It's very cool. It's very cool to be around Ken and in that circumstance. All right, let's keep going talking about sugar, because there are two things going on this week. One is a study in the Belgian Science, the equivalent, I guess, of their CDC, but this is published in Nature Communication, says that the relationship between sugar and cancer is now very clear. Researchers found yeast with high levels of the sugar known as glucose overstimulating the same proteins found in mutated tumors, Ken. So the sugar makes the cells grow faster. I'm not sure it creates the cancer, but it looks like it makes it grow. The energy of the sugar fuels the tumor. So is this new information? Is this news to you, or does this sound like sort of the same thing you've been hearing for a long time?
This is just confirming what we have known in the past, and it's just more of the same, but I think it's important. And it just, this Belgian study linking aggressive tumor growth with sugar intake, and now we're talking about not the sugar that's naturally in fruits, but this is sprinkling on the white sugar that you get in the bakery. And these need to be treats, but a daily habit of all of this is just something that will bring on all this havoc. And it's a nice way to actively lower your risk of getting cancer.
All right. So let's go one step further with this. I noticed this week there are a group, a consortium of lawyers, most of them from the same companies that sued the tobacco companies. Remember in the 80s, it was the late 80s,
yes,
tobacco companies, they got like a $290 billion settlement for people. And now they're aiming their sights, setting their sights on the sugar manufacturers, because they say the sugar is as bad for you as tobacco.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I guess I would say it doesn't surprise me, but
the information or the fact the lawyers are suing the sugar?
Both.
Company? Yeah. It when you think about it, I mean, it really does. You understand what they're saying about sugar. You can kind of feel it. What does it do to your body? It breaks down the various things. And I have really started to seriously think about it because I like sweet things. And when what sort of brought me around is I've been very intolerant and critical over the years of people who smoke and overdrink and that sort of thing. It's like it's like something you're addicted to. And yet, when you look at these the bits and pieces of this report on sugar and how it brings about cancer, I wonder to myself, okay, am I not, and other people who like sugar, suffering from the same addiction? And I think the answer to that is yes, we are, and we better do something about it. Discussions this weekend about pharmaceuticals and the companies. The CBS 60 Minutes report has people on edge that are in the business, but we get to this whole focus on opioids, realize how important it is for us to understand what's going on, the inappropriateness of this, the fraudulent use of medications. Company in California is being investigated. Doctors are being investigated. Doctors who have gotten tens of thousands of dollars to promote a particular drug. What do you say when you have conventions, you're together with your fellow doctors? These sorts of things must come up. What do you do? How do you deal with it yourself? You're a fellow that in treating people who have cardiovascular problems, probably not much need for some of these opioids, right? You have any reason to prescribe any of this stuff that's in the crosshairs?
Zero.
None. All right, but you know about it. You mean you got a group of colleagues. What do you make of this sort of thing? How is it possible that men and women who take the Hippocratic Oath go as far afield as they have here?
I've talked to a lot of my colleagues about this because you hear about it in the media, and mm-hmm. I have talked to a lot of my colleagues if they're prescribing more and more opiates, and maybe I'm working in the bubble. But about a month ago, I was with a bunch of them, and none of them have changed, and they've all been practicing 20-plus years, yeah. And they have not recently changed their prescription habits. But I think there is a small segment of physicians that have, and they're a lot to do with this problem. The other thing is that from what I can tell, the drug companies that make these longer-acting opioids have put pressure on certain doctors to prescribe them, and also not so much pressure, but have brought about studies. Some of the initial studies did actually show that they were safe and effective, and this needs to be re-looked at, that maybe these studies weren't done as well as they were originally thought.
That comes from the same mindset that in the 50s, studies showed that tobacco and smoking was good for you.
Well, the studies are not all that good. It just, you know, that's why I'm so critical when I read these studies, and just because it's a study, and you have to get down into the weeds and really understand them. Mm-hmm. But I think that without a doubt, there's an awareness and a caution among all physicians. And if there isn't, you know, you've really been Dr. Rip Van Winkle. And there is a very aggressive effort, I know, in my state to really clamp down on these clinics that are so-called pain clinics, and all they're doing is functioning as pill mills. And not all pain clinics, but I don't want to paint a broad brush. There are some pain clinics that do evidence-based pain relief and do a very excellent job and only use these drugs as a last resort for short term. But there are some others that, you know, the state in Florida has a microscope out for them, and they're shutting them down. And this is a big, this is a very big issue. I'm not trying to minimize this problem because it's a big problem. And but I think it's a small segment of physicians that are creating this problem.
My former wife, for 24 years, had stage 4 breast cancer and lived through all of the horror that it brought to her. And during what sort of is shaking my memory at the moment, thinking about the pain doctors that she went to, because there are specialists who just are there. She was going through horrible pain because
pain
of the treatments.
Pain medicine specialist. And breast cancer can cause horrible pain.
Right. So under the circumstances, what are you know, are these guys the culprits, or are they becoming the victims of bad publicity?
Well, that's the problem. And sometimes there really is an absolutely good need for this specialty and to give out these drugs. And that's the problem, that is that, you know, medicine has to be personalized, and you have to take each one of these cases separately. And there are circumstances. I mean, I strongly urge people, you know, not to use these for you know, more than a week, or, you know, just unless the doctor, a reputable doctor, really gives a good reason for doing this. And there are circumstances, like your wife who has a terminal, she had a terminal problem and horrible pain. You know, that's a lot different circumstance than somebody who's in a little bit of pain and wants something to deal with it and gets hooked on these and then has a much worse problem than the underlying problem. You know, you might hear from doctors, you know, would it have been terrible if your former wife would have been hooked on one of these drugs, because she was terminal anyway and she was in horrible pain. And so, you know, would it have been horrible if she was?
Well, it was probably better off, in this circumstance, she was better off for it.
Exactly. She was better off to be out of pain.
Yeah.
So the concern about getting hooked on an opioid in that circumstance is...
But it's different now because so many people are getting... Look at that. The CBS story highlights who's got this problem and where they're getting the drugs. And it's the government. The DEA becomes so corrupt by the big drug companies. I mean, you can say what you want to, but there's so much money to be made here. These people and their companies are so corrupt, many of them. I didn't say all of them, and that, I think that was the implication. But this should not be going on. This is something that is dramatic. The deceit here is deliberate. And so you've got my son, who's a drug and alcohol counselor in Los Angeles, was on a podcast I listened to last night with the doctor that is basically considered the shrink to the stars, and Brendan works for him. And the people that come to him, whether they be youngsters who are teenagers or whether they're older, more mature, people are almost all in show business, you know most of their names, and the kind of problems that they have started when they were young, I think. And then, you know, so these kids that are, you see all these ads on television for these drugs. I was watching, I think it was NCIS or Bull or something the other night on TV, and every one of these shows has 5-minute breaks, like there's either a 2-minute or 3-minute break for commercials. And every single one of those breaks had a 60-second drug commercial in it. Every single one.
But and for what kind of drugs?
All kinds of, you name it. You name the
pain
drug.
Pain medicines?
Yeah, yeah. Tell your doctor you want him to look into this, that, or the other thing. And so it is hard for people to know what's real here. It's kind of like fake news. Now there are fake advertisements. And I think there's a lot of fake information about what to do if you have mental and emotional stress or other things that cause any number of sorts of pain. It's, you know, people want to escape. Give me a pill. Isn't that what we've taught people to do? Give them a pill.
No, well, you see, that's a bad use.
Yeah, sure is. It's a really bad use of it. But that's what people think that they want. Escapism. All right. The focus on your health, your blood pressure, what's going on in your body. Do you have enough energy? Are you tired all the time? As you get older, things change in your body. Duh. And so Ken's here to tell you why the super beets, the super foods, but the super beets, basically, that we're promoting here, so you can use nitric oxide. How does this all work? How does it fit together, Ken?
Okay, so now we're going to talk about healthy ways to improve your health. And this deals with nitric oxide, because your body needs nitric oxide. It needs to continuously make nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a gas, Nobel Prize winning information from 1998, the Nobel Prize in medicine. And if you are low in nitric oxide, your blood pressure will go up, you won't feel well, your body won't communicate properly, and you can get the building blocks to make nitric oxide from the super beets. Super beets, it's not like eating beets, it's granulated, they get the taste out. Actually, you put this in your beverage of choice and you drink it before you go and work out, or if you need something to help you with that mid-afternoon fatigue instead of the high caffeinated beverages. Super beets, it's a natural way to get energy, keep the blood pressure down, and help the body communicate and function properly.
All right, so in your first order of super beets, you'll get a 30-day supply free with the rest of the order. You'll get those indicator strips that Ken is talking about to see how the super beets work. How do they work? How is it that the these things, the scanning tool that you get, works? What is the you put saliva on it. I understand functionally how mechanically it works, but then how does it read? How does it know how much there is in your system?
Well, you got to get the physiologist from Baylor who developed it, but it actually has a ability to sense the concentration of nitric acid in your saliva, and it correlates to a color, and you see the color.
Yep, and so therefore you know whether you have enough or not so much.
It's
so here's what you do.
Secret information, how that
yes,
works.
Yes, it's a secret. 800-655-4183. All your neighbors and friends are talking about this. You get into social situations, and people are actually talking about super beets. Athletes are talking about super beets because this is something that gives them energy. This is just a super way to put something into your body that's all natural, non-GMO. These beets are grown, they're cooked, they're powdered, and you get an extra month's supply with your first order. That's what's important here. 800-655-4183. Or maybe really the essential underscore is that this nitric oxide is so important for your body and its health and well-being. The way it opens up your blood vessels. Ken's explained all of this, but you'll feel it, and then you'll understand what he's talking about. Get on Super Beets, 800-655-4183. Order them now. Get free shipping, 800-655-4183. Let's talk about the relationship you have with your doctor. I have two good ones, and they're both a part of Good Day Health. They're here on the air. And we have these new podcasts that people are happy to have. Now they're starting to download them in the hundreds. Ken is here to continue talking about the relativity of the information from this week's medical journals, because Ken is really good at taking the information, deciphering it, boiling it down so you can understand how it impacts you, because that's really what you need. You need to know how this information helps to make your life better. So here we have a little advice, Ken, it would seem, although this seems like common sense, the alcohol and what it does for your heart. You're the cardiologist in the group, so what does this mean?
Well, it is a little surprising, because usually you hear from doctors that, you know, don't drink, but if you're a moderate drinker, don't worry about it because it may be good for the health. But this comes out of the medical journal PLOS 1, Doug, that 1 in 4 adults older than age 40 is at risk for atrial fibrillation. Nearly 6 million people in America could have the condition by 2050. Remember, atrial fibrillation is when the electrical impulse in the upper chambers of the heart are chaotic and can cause an irregular heartbeat, which increases the risk of blood clots that can cause stroke or heart attacks. But researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, and that's where I learned cardiology, found that every decade of non-drinking decrease the risk of atrial fibrillation by 20%, regardless of the type of alcohol.
Really? So wine versus whiskey?
Everything. If you avoid, you'll lower your risk of getting this irregular heartbeat. It's kind of amazing. So,
alcohol
may not be good for the heart. It's an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, but you know what it does? It just proves that science continues to work against itself in a manner of speaking.
No,
it
continues to find out that we just untangle the enigma of the body as time goes on. Nothing
you
is permanent.
You can stick to your read of it. I'll stick
more
to mine. Yeah. All right. Here's another one that affects the cardiological reality in your body. How many Americans are obese?
CDC this week, Doug, almost 40% of adults in America are now obese, continuing an ever-expanding epidemic of obesity that's expected to lead to sicker Americans and higher health care costs. A continuing rise in obesity will lead to greater numbers of people suffering from diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. Get on that diet, get to the gym when the doctor says it's okay, and avoid all this havoc.
Yeah, and the sugar thing. Wow, that's becoming a real can of worms, if you will.
Well, okay. Natural sugar's fine. White sugar, stay away from it.
Yep. Exercise and blocked arteries. You're the cardiologist again. So what does all of this add up to?
Fascinating information. Mayo Clinic proceedings this week. You know, this is just an example of how a good thing is good in moderation, but too much of it can be bad. I like to say my favorite drug, Doug, is what? Exercise.
Yep. Like,
in this study, Caucasian men who spend more than 7 hours exercising each week are most at risk of developing coronary artery calcification. That's plaquing in the circulation. You don't want to exercise more than 7 hours a week.
I know a lot of people who are working on their body. They want to perfect the way the body looks. They spend 2-3 hours a day in the gym.
You are not doing that for your health, and you're actually promoting plaque in the circulation to the heart. This is fascinating. And there have been studies suggesting this. The Copenhagen study a couple of years ago. This is important. Moderation with your exercise.
All right. Let's talk for a moment about Superbeats. Dr. Ken, brought to you by the folks who bring you this fabulous way for you to have healthy blood pressure. That's one of the reasons Ken got on board as early as he did, and he recommends that you use Superbeats for that very, very reason. Get your blood pressure where it needs to be. Use Superbeats. Call 800-655-4183 to order for the first time. You'll get another 30-day supply free with your order of Superbeats at 800-655-4183.